this, that we would have still been dead in our sins. Because Jesus would have died and was not risen, so God had not therefore accepted his sacrifice. And if we're dead in our sins, he says, and we go propagating, putting around this message, then this is ridiculous and we are to be pitied above all people. But I want to tell you who else would be a fool. Not just Paul, not just me, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because Jesus said this, that no one can take my life from me, but I lay it down and I will take it up again. Jesus said this, that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests and the teachers of the law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would rise again. Jesus was under no illusions of what would happen to him. He wasn't going to Jerusalem simply to celebrate the Passover as Jews had done for 1200 years. But he was going in order to give himself as a sacrifice for you and for me, in order that today we might live. Now, I don't know if you see much on the internet, but actually there's lots of conspiracies on the internet. And the latest one that again is doing the rounds is that the earth is not spherical, but is indeed flat. And would you believe in America, yes, in America, someone 2 weeks ago launched themselves up as high as they could in a rocket in order to prove that everybody, scientists, astronauts, pilots, are deluded, or indeed deluding us, because the earth is not spherical, but is as flat as a pancake. I saw him being put into the back of an ambulance and taken off to hospital. There's lots of conspiracy theories, and over the years there's been lots of theories about Jesus' death. The question is, therefore, who moved the stone? And some people have told me over the years that it was Jesus himself who moved the stone. But I'm sure that these people have no understanding about what happened historically. Because literally, Jesus was flogged within an inch of death. He would be flogged in such a way that his vital organs would be exposed. He was crucified. Crucifixion wasn't a form of execution in order to do somebody quickly. It was there in order to prolong someone's agony, but would ensure that when they were gone, they were gone. Jesus' best friend John, he said that when Jesus died, a soldier thrust a spear in his side and he said, "Water and blood flowed out." Medically, he would have no understanding of what we know today. And a doctor, Jim, would tell you this, that the clot and the serum separate, and therefore there is evidence in John's testimony that Jesus was dead. But if he wasn't, could he have swooned? If he wasn't, could he have sat, laid in a tomb, wrapped, mummified for those 3 days, and then removed a stone 1.5 tons heavy? People, of course, say, well, if it wasn't Jesus, it could have been the soldiers. But the soldiers were professional killers. They were also professional guards. And there would have been up to 50 of them who were at pain of their death watching the grave. We don't know what happened to them. But it's very possible that they were executed for the dereliction of duty. Of course, over the years, somebody has just said that it was one big hoax. And it was the disciples. It was their April Fool, if you like. These were fishermen. They weren't good at plotting. They weren't good at getting around professional soldiers. These were fishermen who were so convinced of the evidence of their eyes, the Jesus who over these 40 days revealed himself to 500 different people on a dozen different occasions. They were so convinced that they were willing to give their lives for such a truth. You know, I'd be willing to give my life for that in which I believed. I wouldn't give my life for that which was a hoax. And so the question is, if Jesus didn't move the stone, if the disciples didn't move the stone, and the soldiers didn't move the stone, then who did? And the Bible tells us, and we've heard it read so eloquently this morning from Dylan and for Josh, it was God who moved the stone. Because it was his plan in eternity that Jesus would lay down his life for you and for me in order that we may live. And in order that we may live, he must live. It was the power of God that moved the stone. It was the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. And it's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that the scripture says lives in me and you also. Does that thrill you? Does that excite you? I find that astonishing that the spirit that brought resurrection life to Jesus is the same spirit that wants to bring resurrection life to me and resurrection life to you. In order that we would know the promise that the one who went before is the one that we will follow into all eternity. But in order that we would know the promise that the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead would bring transformation to our life, would bring hope, would bring healing, would bring peace, would bring security, would bring a knowledge of his presence. That's what it means for Jesus to be alive. You see, Paul says if Christ is not risen, then our faith is futile. As I sat at that meal on Friday, I talked to a man and he was sharing with me about a couple who have recently just joined their church. And then he said to me this, and you might know of his granddad. And I want to show you a picture of her granddad, sorry. A picture of a man called Jim Elliott. And Jim Elliott was born in Oregon in 1927. And when he was at school, he had an incredible experience of God. And he determined that his life was going to be lived in order to walk after, obey, and serve his God. And God gave this man a heart for Indian people in Ecuador. And so having left school, he studied and he understood now the language and he prepared to go. He was married with two children. He went to Ecuador. He and three friends with a pilot went to meet this tribe. It was a prearranged engagement. And when he got there, he was betrayed. And on January the 8th, 1956, each of those five men were slaughtered with spears and their bodies were thrown in the river. His wife looked through his notepad and Jim Elliott had written these profound words. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. You see, Jim Elliott knew the words of Jesus, who said if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Now my boss, Jeff, said I was a fool. And Paul said if Christ is not risen, then he too was a fool. But Jim Elliott had another understanding. He had a different perception. He said he's no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain eternity which he cannot lose. So what was the legacy of this man's life? His wife was so moved when she read the words that she and the widows determined in their hearts not to give up on this particular tribe. And so they prepared things and they buried their loved ones. They too ventured into the jungle. I've seen pictures. I've read testimonies of these widows worshipping Jesus with those tribesmen who killed their husbands. You see, Jim Elliot was right. He gave his life to serve the one who gave his life for him. And I want to ask you a question this morning on Easter Sunday. And the question is this: what do you give your life to? We live in a world where people give their life to pleasure, to consumerism. People will commit their life to their families. That's their gamble, that's their hope, that this is all there is. But I think that if you look at the evidence of the Gospels, if you look at the evidence of the risen Christ, the one who still by his power brings hope and healing and reconciliation and transformation today, then you need to be convinced elsewhere. And as I read this story, and as I reflected again over the weekend, I just want to renew that commitment, my commitment, to serve the one who committed himself to me. And I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to recommit your life this year to serve the one who gave himself sacrificially for you? Because if not, I want to turn the whole thing upside down and say maybe it's you who's the fool. Maybe it's you who's invested in something in this life that will really bear a meagre reward. I want to invest my life in that which will reap a reward that is eternal. Let's be quiet and let's just be still together in the Lord's presence.